County Fair Meet. Opening day is Friday, September 10th, with a 1 p.m. first post. Five stakes races highlight the meet led by the $100,000 Los Alamitos Special on September 19th. That weekend will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 18th. Two berths will be up for grabs to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Horse racing fans, visit us on track as we offer comfortable and spacious seating areas. Watch and wager in the main grandstand or at Burgart Sports Bar. And of course, our beautiful Vessels Club is fully open both indoors and out on our patio and terrace level. Purchase your admission tickets at the main gate or online at losalamitos.com. It's a fun time at the track. And don't forget about our $1 early and late pick fours, plus our traditional $2 pick six. Big time excitement is ahead. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Friday, September 10th.
Sirius XM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. At the Races, it's exactly 10 o'clock, hour two on this Wednesday, and good race day ahead with Kentucky Downs starting its second pairing of race action today and tomorrow, then off Friday, and then back Saturday and Sunday. We'll come to you from Kentucky Downs tomorrow morning and Friday, and looking forward to it. I've just been, it's been impossible for me to say no to any of these concepts this summer, between from Colonial to Monmouth to Del Mar, and of course NHC. Sid Fernando joins us. Sire Watch Pedigree Focus, brought to you by Hill and Dale. Sid, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve.
Sid, the summer just disappeared. It like it always does. It comes, you think it's going to last forever, and then it's over.
Yeah, I mean, it's incredible, isn't it? A lot of high quality racing will do that too during this period. Just, you know, bing bang boom.
Well, and we finished with a real flourish, and we'll talk about, you know, some of the winners. The bloodstock marketplace, considering that Monday we start Keeneland. We're going to get into the fall yearling season here in a big way, and so. The time growing short for stallions, first crop stallions that are going to have their second offering, in sizable numbers. So it's fairly important for them to make some marks. And one of them that, there's not a long-term commercial aspect to Arrogate, but Arrogate gets his first two winners back to back within a half an hour of each other.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, it's amazing when you contrast his first 2 year-olds with Gunrunners, because if the two of them were the two highest priced horses that entered stud that year at, 75 and 70,000. And the same weekend that Arrogate gets his first two winners, Gunrunner has gotten his first two G1 winners. So, it certainly sets up Gunrunner as a really major stallion prospect, a young stallion. Looks like he's got, everything in front of him, because both of those horses were horses that people expected really to do better at three. And Gunrunner is doing it at two. And so there's, lots of anticipation that his best is still in front of him. As you point out, Arrogate died you know, hopefully he builds on this momentum the second half, you know, the last third, whatever, of this year. He starts, you know, pick up some runners and, you know, hopefully he can get a good son at least. He's got, I think, three crops, so, you know, and one of these crops to come up and perhaps keep his line alive through him.
Well, and that, you know, we talked about that, you know, right from the get-go, and that he seemingly was going to be, you know, the last big chance for Unbridled Song to have a son with, you know, with continuity and with, you know, with real impact, and it's going to be a different kind of potential impact if it's going to come to pass. But I sort of was I saw some generated scoffing essentially at Arrogate. It was brought up online about on Twitter how, you know, he was 0 for I think 12 or maybe it was 14 with his first starters, and then immediately gets these two winners. And I'm really not sure why a horse that started as a 3-year old his career and was literally a specialist at a mile and a quarter, why it was supposed that he was going to, you know, be a big hit as a stallion that got precocious babies.
Yeah, and also when you take into account his physicality, you know, he's a big horse, leggy horse, was a big leggy horse, you know, a lot of length to him, you know, that size to him and the shape of him also kind of suggested, you know, much more maturity needed. And, you know, that's how he was, too. So, you're right. I don't, you know, we certainly weren't expecting him to do much this year, which, you know, in a commercial sense, really dampens a stallion. But, you know, the same kind of feeling perhaps could have been held for a Gunrunner, too. He wasn't a stakes winner, too. He did, you
That's
know,
true.
Obviously race it, too.
That's true.
But his success is really, you know, absolutely terrific. So one of them, you know, we can anticipate that they're going to get better next year at 3 and so forth. But the one that's already doing so well right now, we can still anticipate even bigger stuff next year. So that makes it exciting. And anytime a stallion, you know, gets 2 grade 1 winners in the first crop at 2, it's always, you know, pretty big news. You know, Nyquist just did it last year. Gunrunner's now done it. And, you know, it's always exciting because, as we've talked on here so often, a lot of people like to go with those first, you know, they like to wildcat first crop stallions because you never know which one might, you know, turn into a gusher. And so far, it, you know, it kind of looks like this horse is. It's funny, on Thursday or Friday, I actually our client Chuck Shipke usually doesn't breed the young stallions. He doesn't he likes really well-proven stallions, and he had mentioned to me in passing that, you know, he's really looking this year at using Gunrunner, because Gunrunner for Private Friday still had 2 or 3 stakes winners. And just by chance, I happened to be speaking to Case Clay of Three Chimneys on Friday, and I said, you know, he told me that, you know, there's a big waiting list, you know, a big list starting to pile up for Gunrunner. And this was prior to the weekend. And so he and I kind of went through a scenario of, you know, well, you know, these horses are running in these stakes races this weekend. What if one wins a grade one? What would that translate to the stud fee? And then a second one won a grade one. What would that happen? And we kind of unofficially discussed all the possibilities. And then I said to him, well, listen, put me down on the waiting list. And he said, you're in. So I got on the waiting list Friday. The horse gets the two grade one winners on over the weekend. And, of course, I called Chuck up on Tuesday and just to tell him I got the cheese to him. And he was elated because, you know, for him to be excited about a young horse like this is one thing, but for this to be able to, you know, get into the horse now was extremely satisfying.
One thing that people may, or I don't know if they listened to the interviews or maybe read in the aftermath in Dave Grenick's piece, Steve asked me, and he said it with me the other day, on Monday, even before, just off the strength of Echo Zulu, he said he absolutely wanted to be at the helm of Gunrunner's first grade one winner. And that's a real insight, frankly, to the competitive spirit and mind of Steve Asmussen. And then in retrospect, as I watched, frankly, as I watched Gunite, you know, expanding the lead down the stretch in the hopeful Monday, I said to myself, well, you know, you blew that. It wouldn't have mattered because I, when it came to my multi-tickets, I didn't use a tone, but I absolutely said to myself, unbelievable. He's gonna get another one right here, and it should have been. You know, I know it's esoteric from a handicapping standpoint, but it should have entered into the thinking.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, it should have. Yeah, everything is hindsight of 2020. But
yeah.
Three Chimneys stands Gunrunner, but of course, you know that he had been raised in partnership with Winchell. So Winchell plays a big part in the success stories, obviously owning both. But G1 winners and that other Saratoga G3 winner who was out of the Tappet mare, a Gunrunner. And of course, they had Tappet. And so now they've got another stallion coming up and they bred Gunite. He's a third generation homebred for Winchell. They bought Echo Zulu. And, you know, it made sense that they were going to go heavy into Gunrunner and Asmussen was, you know, going to be the beneficiary of those as its trainer. So, you know, they've got to be absolutely elated. And, you know, to have a stallion turn out like Tappet, and then if you can have if you can predict that this rate of success this horse is having is going to continue to go. I mean, that would be something, wouldn't it, to come up with two major stallions?
It was at the time as Gunrunner was wrapping up his, you know, his career. It was to me an amazing. I think Ron Winchell was on with us and we talked about the, you know, an embarrassment of riches to have, you know, to have two. Yeah, and two distinct kinds of stallions too, and you know it's funny when you look at these two talk about these pedigrees for a second, Sid, because the broodmare sire of these two is notable. Echo Zulu, Let Go My Echo is by Menifee, and Simple Surprise by Cowboy Cal. We're not exactly talking. You know, sparkling broodmare sire type names. When you think Cowboy Cal and Menifee.
Yeah, I mean, that's absolutely true, but, you know, taking the female families of them aside, because obviously when you look at the Menifee mare, she's already produced the Grade 1 winner Echo Town as well as the G3 winner J Boys Echo.
Right.
But taking that aside, here's the interesting thing about it, and I'm glad you brought up this point. Gunrunner is the son of Candy Ride. Candy Ride was an Argentine bred horse who came here, obviously, went to stud at John Secura's place. John was instrumental in making the stallion, started for $10,000. One of the things that helped Candy Ride was his absolute success ratio with Stormcat line mares. As a matter of fact, I just looked. There are 47 unrestricted stakes winners by Candy Ride that have Stormcat in the pedigree, many of them through the broodmare sire, but they don't have to be, but a lot of them are. Captain Candyman Can, for example, is by Storm Creek, a horse like Menifee and Cowboy Cow. You know, not a great sire, but Captain Candyman, Captain Candyman Can was a G1 winner, bred on this Nick, Candy Ride with Stormcat, okay? Gunrunner himself is bred on this Nick because he's by Candy Ride out of a Giant's Causeway mare. That's Stormcat, right?
Hmm.
Now, one of the things that breeders like to do is they like to repeat that breeding, that female line that worked with that stallion. They'll bring it in again. So that means a duplication of Stormcat. So in both these cases, the significant part is Cowboy Cow is by Giant's Causeway by Stormcat. Menifee is by Harlan by Stormcat. So Gunrunner now is utilizing that same nick that made his sire so successful. And when you do that with Gunrunner, because he's already out of the Stormcat line there, you're duplicating Stormcat. So what you have in both of these horses is a duplication of Stormcat. And as well as it being the Candy Ride Stormcat Nick. So let me point out to you that another Grade 1 winner this weekend, Pinehurst, is by Twirling Candy, the proven son of Candy Ride at Lane's End. Pinehurst is out of a Giant's Causeway mare by Stormcat. Again, that Candy Ride Stormcat Nick, right, is
yep.
What's at work here as one element of the success of these pedigrees, female families aside, of course. But it's one of the things that was just so phenomenal with Candy Ride himself, his own success. And, you know, even when the broodmare sire isn't a Stormcat line stallion, so let's take a stallion, for example, like Mastery, another young son of Candy Ride with two-year-olds this year, right? Mastery is, he stands at Claiborne, he's by Candy Ride out of an old Trieste mare, but the second dance, Steady Cat, is by Stormcat. So what we found is Candy Ride really takes off when there's Stormcat in the female, the mare's pedigree. And it doesn't necessarily have to be on that sire line of the mare. It can be within that pedigree, too, as Mastery is an example. So isn't it something that both these G1 winners are, again, Candy Ride with Stormcat, but now through his son Gunrunner, who already is a product of Candy Ride Stormcat. And that's why you have the duplication of Stormcat in Goonight and Echo Zulu.
This is exactly, you know, the theme that we hit on, you know, depending on you know, the line and the arena, it just over and over again. It's just amazing.
You know, I pointed this out last week to you when we were talking about McLean's Music, who stands at Hillendale, too. you know, McLean's music is a kind of distorted humor, and there's this great nick of distorted humor with AT Indy. Well, you know, we pointed out that McLean's music's first crop winner and first crop classic winner, Cross Computing, was bred on that nick. He was out of an AT Indy line there. We noted that Jackie's Warrior, his G1 winner this year, top sprinter in the country, is also out of an AT Indy line mare. And after you and I had this conversation, by the way, I just noticed in one of the G1 races, maybe the one, the filly that ran second to Grace Adler, was a McLean's Music out of another AT Indy mare, line mare. I forget her name, but you know, she was far back, obviously, behind Grace Adler. But, you know, so when you're actually planning pedigrees, you're looking, yes, if you're looking at the quality of the female family. You're looking at the physical match. You're looking, obviously, to try to upgrade your mare. But you're also looking at elements in pedigrees. Sometimes a stallion, sometimes a cluster of stallions that work with a particular stallion, too. And I bring up, you brought it up, but I'm expanding on it. With Candy Ride, normally Argentine or South American stallions do not succeed in this country. But Candy Ride found a scene, and that was Stormcat. He's also found another scene with AP Indy. But what happened with him was, he happened to be here at the right time when Stormcats and the AP Indies, they were in the broodmare population. And whatever they brought physically, genetically to the pedigrees, they worked with Candy Ride really well. And now we're finding in the second generation of this, we're finding it's working with the sons. We've seen Twirling Candy with... I just gave you the grade one winner, Pinehurst. But Twirling Candy has others as well. And now we're seeing it with Gunrunner. So, you know, it's something that as breeding season approaches, you know, people need to look at whatever you want to call it, nicks, crosses, certain ancestors, to ignore that is to proceed at your own peril.
Let me counterweight that, Sid, with something, and I didn't let you know that I was going to bring this up, but given that I talked to Graham Motion about Princess Grace quite a bit, actually. The other day, was that yesterday? I can't even remember if that was Graham. Was Graham on yesterday? I think he was, yes, because I couldn't get to him Monday. And Princess Grace came up, and I, you know, I've talked about the Del Mar Derby result, none above the law, becoming a you know, prominent graded stake winner for Caracanti, and then the next day here was Graham, and we talked about Princess Grace, who's on a really nice win skein here, and you know he's what, 10,000 Caracanti?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
At Gainesway, and mm-hmm. There's one of those pedigrees that, you know, has got all kinds of interesting elements, including, of course, a presence of Sunday Silence as the broodmare sire, Bernstein as his own sire. So it's a something of an offbeat, you know, an off-brand pedigree, as it were, and yet there's some, you can see there's some ruminations going on regarding Caracanta. He's getting good horses.
But let me explain something about the Princess Grace pedigree as relates to what we just spoke about with the Gunrunner graded stakes winners. We pointed out that Gunrunner himself is a product of Candy Ride and Stormcat, right? And then breeders bred Stormcat line mares back to Gunrunner to get Gunite and Echo Zulu. Well, if you look at the pedigree of Princess Grace, Caracanti is by Bernstein, who's by storm cat, out of a Sunday Silence line mare. Well, John and Susan Moore, who bred Princess Grace, they bred another Sunday Silence mare back to Caracanti, and that's the product is Princess Grace. Princess
right.
Grace is inbred 3x3 to Sunday Silence. It's exactly the same theory in these Gunrunner Stakes winners. You're breeding a mare back to that stallion that was how that stallion himself was created. So Caracanti was created by sending a Sunday Silence mare to Bernstein. Now they're sending a Sunday Silence line mare to Caracanti, just mirroring exactly how he himself was bred. And isn't that interesting that this Princess Grace now, very similar in its own way in structure to the pedigrees of Gunite and Echo Zulu.
Is that said? I'm not sure if the term that's not a hybrid vigor approach. Is that or is that misapplied?
No. When we talk about the hybrid vigor approach, is you take an intensely inbred mare, say, but Princess Grace herself is 3x3 to Sunday Silence. She's inbred,
right.
And then you breed her to a stallion that has no inbreeding. And
okay.
You create that hybrid vigor. You breed an inbred horse to an outcross horse, and that's the hybrid vigor that my good friend Leon Rasmussen used to write about quite a bit as well.
So it's exposing a inbred to a wide array. Yeah, to
an outcross. Exactly.
Right. Yeah. No.
If you want to look at a great example of that, and it's a mating that we happen to have done for Albaugh family, it's the mare Miss Macy Sue has a version of this in it, the Dam of Liam's Map. Miss Macy Sue, her dam Yada Yada was inbred 2x3 to Tao Wee. And then Yada Yada was bred to Trippy, who was, you know, pretty much a 5-generation outcross. And that produced Miss Macy Sue, who was a grade 3 winner bred by Brian Howlett. And then Miss Macy Sue was bred on Bridal Song and got Liam's Map. So there's a case where a mare had the hybrid vigor part in her and then another generation, and then she was bred on Bridal Song. But just as an aside and as something your listeners, if they want to go and pull up the pedigree, they can take a look at that.
Well, and when you mention, I think, right, when you mentioned, was Miss Macy Sue, who'd you say bred with that?
Brian Howlett bred Miss Macy
Sue. Howlett,
now,
okay.
Brian Howlett used to be the Tartan manager and was originally an assistant to John Narud. So, you know, John was a big, Leon Rasmussen played a big part in John's matings later in John's career. And so, the mare Yada Yada, who's inbred 2x3 to Tawi, was bred by Brian Howlett because he probably was following what John Narud and Leon Rasmussen had been advocating, which is inbreeding to a superior female through two different individuals, in this case, Great Above and Tweak. And so Yada Yada had this intense inbreeding 2x3 to Tawi. And Brian Howlett, of course, you can show the link going from Brian Howlett to John Narud to Leon Rasmussen, and it has Leon's thumbprint all over it.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, and of course that's the breeding side of the Narud tree, and then there's the training side of the Narud tree, which
right, exactly.
with Scotty Schoenhofer and Carl Nafsker and down to Ian Wilkes. And yeah, so lots of fruit from that orchard. Sid, in addition to the note, and actually, before I go to that, you bringing up the Albaughs made me think of Not This Time. Mm-hmm. And I want to mention there were two regional obscurities, not obscurities, that's not fair. There were two regional successes this past week that I think yesterday I tweeted and I called it the horse you missed over the weekend. Not This Time, by the name of Ain't Life Grand, that Kelly Von Hemel sent out to a win in the Richard Ratke Memorial, stretched out this Not This Time, and this is an Iowa bred, and this is not just a nice Iowa bred. This may be a really nice horse, Ain't Life Grand. And then there was also the Dominus filly, Amadevil. She came back and won again last week, the McKay Memorial at Thistledown. So Prairie Meadows and Thistledown successes. I wanted to make sure to mention both of those regional powerhouses.
That's good. Yeah. The Alba Group is a client of ours, and we actually did the mating for Not This Time as well. So, they're obviously really excited with their young stallion, just like the Winchells would be with Gunrunner, Winchells and Three Chimneys. And so I think, what we'll find is I know that Alba wants to buy some fillies, yearling fillies in September that will potentially suit Not This Time. And it's something we've been working on with them, for them this week, actually. So, I think you're going to find that they're going to start to branch out and get more involved in the breeding side. I mean, they've had obvious, tremendous success, buying these colts and raising them. And it'll be interesting to see with their fillies. Of course, they had the fillies from the beginning, the aforementioned Miss Macy Sue, who became their, first big runner and a graded winner and a big money earner, and then turned into a great producer for them, getting not only Not This Time, but the aforementioned Liam's Map.
And I'm looking at Ain't Life Grand's pedigree. This is out of a Medaglia d'Oro mare, herself out of a Tale of the Cat mare. They're going to keep an eye on this one. I actually exchanged a note with Kelly Von Hemel. They're very excited by this horse, and they should be.
Oh, that's nice. And it's interesting that it's not related to the Albaughs, but it's an Iowa horse, and the Albaughs,
yes,
of course, are from
Iowa. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I thought that there was that, there was that connection, too. And, I wonder, RPM... RPM Thoroughbreds, and I'm gonna forget Ray and Peggy Shattuck is the name, and I wonder if they're
friends with him.
Exactly, that occurred to me. I can check with. I'll see Dale Romans this week, and maybe I'll ask Dale. One other name I want to bring up in here, Sid, because I also out of Graham Motion, and I think you and I have maybe brushed against him a little bit, but the winner of the Virginia Derby last week for Graham, Wooten Bassett, here's another import coming over, and it just seems that every time you look up and there's one of these Wooten Bassetts brought to North America, they're noteworthy.
Yeah, well, this is a terrific stallion, and what happened was you can get a gauge of how well regarded he is because he was actually a stallion in France that Coolmore, after he'd been standing at another farm in France, went out and actually purchased the whole horse and brought it to Ireland. and now he's standing, you know, six figures, because he started off with small crops. He's doing really well, and Coolmore is so you know, good at spotting talent. And if it's not one that they themselves started off, they're not averse to going out and looking at another stallion. And this is a rare stallion that they just went ahead and purchased outright. And they have really, really benefited from this because, you know, this horse had a champion in his first crop, Almanzor, who's also at stud. But since they've gotten in, don't forget that the Ardaria, who won the Breeders' Cup, Julian Mare Turf, is by Wooten Bassett. And he also, you know, that was a distance mile in 316, but he also is the sire of Wooded, who won the Prix de la Day
Sprint. Right.
You know, so he's, you know, he's really on a tear. And he's a stallion that's now going to be bred to so many Galileo mares, too. And, you know, you can expect his stock will skyrocket over the next few years.
Well, I didn't have a chance to bring it up with Graham yesterday, but I was going to bring it up with you because there was, in fact, an interesting harmony to Graham Motion bringing Wooten Asset to Colonial and winning the Virginia Derby, because the female family of Wooten Bassett has got the big thumbprint of Paul Mellon and Rokeby and Virginia all over it.
Uh-huh. Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Wooten Bassett himself?
Wooten Bassett, yeah, the dam, the second, it starts with the second dam. Wooten Bassett was out of Balladonia, bred in England, but the second dam, Susquehanna Days, third dam, Gliding By, and then go back to Key Bridge. It's all.
Oh wow,
Paul Mellon.
Wow, yeah, sure. Great. That's a great, great piece of. Finding on your part, Steve.
I love it.
That's a nice thing.
There you go, Sid. You got something to write about.
Exactly right.
Too funny.
Yeah. So anyway, I guess that's a wrap.
Yeah, there it is. I'm headed to Kentucky, and I even broached the topic with Tina of me maybe staying past Sunday it does occur to me the sale starts Monday, right? Maybe I do some broadcasting maybe from Keeneland. That's not a terrible idea, Sid, right?
No, I mean, have you done that before? Because
I have not.
That's a great spot to do it.
I agree.
That's a great spot, and you know, like people like me are not going to the sale this year. So, you know, I think it would be a great. The real question is, can you stand all that time away from Keno?
It's one of those funny. That's one of those loaded questions. Sid. She both hates me leaving, but then. You know, she appreciates I don't drag her out to dinner, and I don't, she admonishes me for cooking and too much and you know, being a little careless at the grocery store with some of the things I bring into the house. You know, she appreciates there's a lot of things that she appreciates about me not being around, but I don't know. I'll decide on Sunday. I'm mulling. Yeah. I pretty much have said yes to everything.
I think it would be a good idea if you did it.
Yeah, I think so too, actually.
Yeah.
I know. Even if it just for the first couple of days of the sale, it just would be.
One of the reasons also is that you got all these people in town, and you got some really interesting people, and you're going to be able to, you know, catch some new people on.
No, I agree. All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Just when I thought I was going home, they dragged me back out. Sid Fernando, everybody. Sirewatch Pedigree Focus brought to you by Hill and Dale and, of course, Work Thoroughbred Consultants, 510-490-1111. And whether it's talking to Sid and the team about residual value yearling fillies that could end up being in your brood bear band, or getting ready to start negotiating for next season's breeding. We hit September, and forget it. It's a rocket sled from here.
Oh yeah, it's a busy season. Yeah, I appreciate the plug. Thank you so much.
Not at all. Sid Fernando, everybody. We'll stay here. We've only got about 15 minutes, but we're going to spend it with Bill Downs. It's another nice midweek stakes card at Indiana Grand. Let me switch to that, and into my lap it goes. Bill, good morning. Oh, you lost Bill. Okay, Casey just said he lost Bill. He's going to get Bill back. Today, for those of you that you've already got Kentucky Downs, and you heard about Canterbury for late this afternoon and this evening, but Indiana, you're looking at sort of a nice bridge mid-afternoon into early evening, and then you can switch off and go on with it at Canterbury. But the pick five today at Indiana involves four stakes, the Back Home Again and the Indiana Grand, the Caesars, and the Circle. And I think we got Bill back.
Good morning.
Hey, Bill. Good morning. I'm good. I have, you got to be on your toes here to keep up with everything going on. I mean, no sooner do we wrap up Del Mar and Saratoga, and somebody said to me, oh, you must have you get a chance to take a breather. No, there's no breathers.
Exactly. It just keeps on going. This is the... I have Del Mar and Saratoga that everyone gets excited about, but the charge continues into the out of summer, into the fall, and into the Breeders' Cup prep season and all that good stuff. So we'll be running here at Indiana Grand till second week after the Breeders' Cup, I think, this year. So we'll be around for a while, and good news is really good weather here in central Indiana, and the we'll be fast and firm for our second biggest day of the year. And I guess it's someone was marketing it as the richest day of turf racing in Indiana this year.
Okay. I like that. That's a good moniker for it, because these stakes, for the most part, not just the stakes either. You got, in fact, the allowance that starts the pick five starts on the grass. You got two mile events when it comes to the Caesars and the Indiana Grand, and then the two sprints with state breds involved, the Back Home Again and the Circle City. So we can dive in, and I should mention, even before you get to the stakes sequence and the pick five, there are three straight maiden special weights. There's two groups, the one group of two-year-olds, and then two 3-year-olds, and I would recommend looking at those as well. The mile and a 16th turf for 3 and ups. There's that's the fifth. The fourth has got 5.5 fillies, open company, and then you got state breds going 5.5, and these are fillies 3 and up as well. So
yeah,
nice sequence.
If you're going to mention it, I'll mention one in there. Yeah, the first time started that kind of caught my eye a little bit, and that's Happy Out, the 3-horse for a trainer doesn't bring too many horses to Indiana Grand, but who is a heck of a trainer, at least in my humble opinion, Andrew McKeever. Happy Out the Three is by a pretty good first out sire. The workouts are pretty darn good as well. He brings in Jermaine Bridgemahan to ride. He got a Bullet Gate workout on August 21st. You'll guarantee to get a price in the race because Brad Cox has got a first-time starter by Into Mischief in the race. And so you're almost guaranteed to get a somewhat of a price.
Nice.
And that's Happy
nice.
Out and that fourth race.
I like it. Good work. And this is a resurgent Andrew McKeever. McKeever having a terrific year, and Andrew had a rough patch and has come back very strong. So happy for him to do well. He does a great job. That's a Cantheros Happy Out in the fourth race today, 3:55 Eastern. Let's dive into this pick five. And we got exactly 10 minutes, Bill, and then I got to pull up. But starts with a conditional allowance as the seventh.
Yeah, I think we got a decent favorite in here in Mizzen Ash, who's dropping out of the Pieni Stakes on August 25th. In which he finished fifth, but only beat in a couple lengths. And that was a pretty strong race. Bumble of Love is one of my favorite horses that won that race. And the early pace of that race wasn't the fastest in the world, and she got stuck near the back of the pack. She should get a decent pace in this race with enough, looks like enough early speed in the race. A bit of a long shot that I might be able to look at, and I think might be coming back into form a little bit, is the seven horse, Nothing But Flowers, for trainer Jeff Greenhill, who is having a terrific meet here in Indiana Grand as well as down south at in Cincinnati. But lost to Very Amelia last time out, and Very Amelia is turning into one of the best Indiana-bred filly mare sprinters on the ground. She is she does just terrific work in sprint races, and she finished second behind Very Amelia in that race on August the 18th. On top of that, Nothing But Flowers has won a couple times on the turf course in the past, won the Ellen's Lucky Star last year, and I just think that she's coming back around, and she has a decent post, and she might be able to get to the front end in here. It just remains to be seen. Deshaun Parker stays aboard, 8-1 in the line, probably my long shot in that race that I think I might use as well to try and maybe topple Mizzen Ash, who I think is a very deserving favorite.
No, I can't argue any point there. Talk about the two-year-olds, statebreds in the back home again. And, you know, at a glance, that first out winner for Tony Granitz, obviously Louder Than Words, who I think we talked about at the time. And then you got some others that haven't, you know, shown up as fast in terms of figs. But you got lightly raced horses that can jump up. Antonio Duran, too, on the rail with Sky's Image, 4-1.
Yeah, there's a myriad of contenders in this race. Flirty Dancer won an entry-level allowance race on August the 10th. A couple of the fillies in that race didn't get off to good starts, including Everything's Rosie, who's in this race, who went off as the big favorite in that race on August the 10th. Everything's Rosie barely got up for second in that race. They're both okay, but I probably like one other in here a little bit better. You mentioned that Tony Granitz has got Louder Than Words. We'll talk about it in just a second, but he's also got Rianti, and Rianti was, right. I thought, was finishing great in her win. As you know, the pace was pretty quick in that race, and he reeled in the front runner and was, you know, in essence wrapped up in the last 100 yards, and she got bet down in her debut, and so I think Granitz is pretty high. This daughter of Golden Sense. He also has got the Louder Than Words, who also came from off the pace, but it was a turf race. So in this race, she's going to get dirt in a race for the first time, and that's going to be something, whether or not she can overcome that. I mean, she's got talent, but first time on dirt, and Sky's Image for Tony Duran, I would like her a heck of a lot more. If she didn't have the rail post, she needs a great break. Otherwise, she's going to go into Shuffle City, and that's going to be the problem with Sky's Image, who's on talent, I think, at the head of the class in this race, and fun betting event, the back home again.
Big, nice, punky field of 11 in there. Takes us to the ninth, the third leg of this pick five, and 11.99% takeout. Can't beat it. And we're going to go 1 mile in here in the $150,000 three-year-old filly event. Nice field of 12 in here.
Yeah, and there's some scratches, but they're all long shots. A Touch of Plaid, Miz and Ash, who obviously not going to run in both races. Pathetique, taken to the cleaners, and then the big long shot, who didn't have any chance anyway. But so that means that all the main contenders are still in the race. And the morning line favorite is from the Brad Cox barn, Burning Ambition, winner three in a row. She is making her stakes debut. She's gone through conditions, won at Ellis Park last time out. Thought she got a pretty good trip in that race. Early pace was very, very slow. And I think things will be a lot more honest in here. I think she'll be in a stalking position as opposed to being right on the lead in this race. My top pick is towards the outside, and now with all the scratches, I'm not as worried being stuck out wide, and that's the 11-horse Mrs. Kloss for trainer Brendan Walsh. Godolphin broke the maiden here in Indiana Grand in very impressive fashion. I loved her in that race at Ellis Park. I was watching that day, and she impressed me once again, just engulfing the leaders inside the final furlong marker. And, yeah, she's got, I think, a incredible upside in this race. Now, with the scratches, though, that some of the speed horses scratch, and so a filly that I wasn't going to be that high on in the race, now I might have to take another look at, is the 7-horse Still Charging Maria for Asmussen. She lost to Flippin last time out. Flippin came back to win the Virginia O, and that from that race on August the 7th. So, and that was a very fast pace, and they went some really fast fractions. And this race, yeah, there's still some speed, but now it's not I thought it was going to be a very, very fast pace. Now it's some of the scratches. I think she's now back in the picture. So she might make my top three. Mrs. Kloss is still going to be my top choice, but I would throw in Still Charging Maria. Take a long look at her. She's got some ability as well. And, I'm nothing against Burning Ambition, but I think she's going to be the favorite still in this race, though everything kind of compresses a little bit with all the scratches, even though there are a bunch of long shots.
Well, and you bring up Still Charging Maria. Not only was Flippant in that Dueling Ground Oaks preview, but so was Adventuring, who was third behind Flippant. Flippant goes off and wins at Colonial, and Adventuring wins the Dueling Ground Oaks. So that race has been productive. And we did have Steve Asmussen on Monday, who said, all of our stakes runners this week are live everywhere. That was Steve's. I said, any maiden special weights? He said, no, stake runners. He was very emphatic. Let's talk about the Caesars, Bill. This is the three-year-old boys.
Yeah, a couple scratches. Scratch the 1 and 5, and I think it changes the race quite a bit because Nikki Two Shoes, I thought, was going to be the front runner in this race. So I think it changes the dynamics of this race, I think, quite a bit. And so Royal Prince, I think, will have to, stalking tactics like she, she almost overcame a slow early pace to win that Ellis Park Building Grounds Derby preview on August the 7th. She hasn't won since April, and he fits. There's no doubt about it. He's a legit horse. There's a couple in here that I think we might have to, I like maybe a tiny bit more. One of which is the Woodbine Invader, the 6-horse Dynamite, back in the barn at Keith DeSormo after going north of the border at Woodbine. And I like to watch the races from Woodbine quite a bit. It's kind of like my new little hobby, if you will. And that was a pretty darn strong field on August the 14th, let me tell you. So Dynamite off of that race and is going to get a long look from me. Then we got a horse coming up from Gulfstream Park, Perfect Silent Cat, with Luca Panici aboard, winner on a sloppy track, but has done well on the turf as well. And there's not a whole lot of early speed. And this one, granted, it was a very slow early pace at Gulfstream Park last time out, and they changed tactics. At least they showed that they can adapt to whatever the race happens there. But I think Dynamite might be on the lead in here, and that's going to be interesting. He's going to be my pick in the Caesars Stakes in race number 10.
Well, even though even though he's 30-1 and is coming out of a non-winners of two claiming event, I'm hard-pressed not to mention on the second day of Rosh Hashanah that Shofar is in this race. You can't make it up, no matter what happens. In this sport, there is a horse that was absolutely made to run on either Yom Kippur or on Rosh Hashanah. So don't blow it on Shofar. He looks up against it, but it made me laugh. Circle City closes out the pick five, and boy, this is a little murky. We got some first-time starters and maidens and, one of those two-year-old races. I mean, Mo wins from Mike Lauer 2-1 and makes perfect sense. Classic Max from Duran, 5-2. Do we keep it simple, or is there some horses to worry about in here?
No, I think there's horses to worry about in here. I'll give you one that went immediately into my stable mail, and I tweeted it out as well. It's the 10-horse What Now Daryl for Garcia. Third career start, I don't know what happened, but the light went on, and it went on with a 90-volt light bulb, if you will. What Now Daryl, visually impressive in that win on September the 1st, and won very willingly and very easily, and probably more than the length and a quarter finishing margin does show. So I just think that he's coming into this race on just getting better and better. Moens has the rail, and if he doesn't break, and even if he does break well, he could be put in tight pretty quick, and that's what that's what happened to him last time out in a field of five, for goodness sakes. He was in a stalking position, and then he got tight, and he had to check, and then lost position, and was defeated as a big favorite. And Classic Max finished second in that race, but got DQ'd because he kind of came over on Moen. So yes, there was some interference there, but in a bigger field, you don't need interference to get shuffled, if you will. So Moen needs a great break, and if he gets it, then he can get off the inside just a tiny bit, and maybe dictate things. But there's going to be a lot of speed horses in this race. They're going to go out, it's always like that in those two-year-old races. Yeah. So, I don't know. For me, it's What Now Daryl as my bright idea in that race. And
I like
Moen, so talented, is in another tough spot along the rail in a very, very big field.
It's a great sequence, and it's a terrific day of racing, and no rain to worry about, it seems. That spate is over, those midsummer difficulties. Bill, I'll be making my way to Kentucky, so we'll be paying attention and betting later, and I appreciate the visit.
Sounds good, Steve.
Bill Downs won, everybody. Indiana Grand with a big race card today and four stakes as part of the pick five. Going to pull up here and send it to the top of the hour break, and you will not hear from me live until tomorrow morning from Kentucky Downs. But when we come back, you're going to hear Jerry Brown with an hour-long conversation that started out about the Jockey Club initiative with a exceptional performance evaluation tool, assessment tool, something, and it then goes from there, and we hit on a lot of topics of the day, and I think you'll appreciate it. As always, it's always valuable to hear from Jerry Brown. I want to thank Bill Landis and Dan Metzger for their heartfelt and difficult visits to pay tribute to Dr. David Richardson, we lost yesterday, a friend to everyone in the game. Sid Fernando and Bill Downs, and now Jerry. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody, from Kentucky Downs.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Why, in the past decade, has BRL Equine become the premier equine supplement company in the industry? Because we spend millions in research and development before we ever put out a product. Because we use only FDA-supervised facilities to manufacture for us. Because what we say is in them is in them. Because they work. Because if you're not happy, I'll give you your money back. And because top trainers and veterinarians in thoroughbred racing, standardbred racing, three-day eventing, and barrel racing all trust in BRL Equine. Shouldn't you? To find out more how Flexify HA, Unlock, Bleeder Shield, and EPO Equine can help you, contact me, Joseph Vellante, 215-501-6880.
Horseville.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Horse racing fans, major Southern California thoroughbred racing action returns to Los Alamitos Racecourse for the L.A. County Fair Meet. Opening day is Friday, September 10th, with a 1 p.m. first post. Five stakes races highlight the meet led by the $100,000 Los Alamitos Special on September 19th. That weekend will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 18th. Two berths will be up for grabs to the National Handicapping Championship in Las Vegas. Horse racing fans, visit us on track as we offer comfortable and spacious seating areas. Watch and wager in the main grandstand or at Burgart Sports Bar. And of course, our beautiful Vessels Club is fully open both indoors and out on our patio and terrace levels. Purchase your admission tickets at the main gate or online at losalamitos.com. It's a fun time at the track. And don't forget about our $1 early and late pick fours, plus our traditional $2 pick six. Big time excitement is ahead. The LA County Fair Meet at Los Alamitos. Opening day is Friday, September 10th.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.